big speech, practicing in the mirror, trying to get this intro down pat. And honestly, I was just like, the best thing to do is just come out here and be authentic. Honestly, just come out here and say what's on my mind. So at the end of the day, you guys, pleasure having being with us. And at the beginning of what we have our podcast, and it's called The Three Tribesmen. So three tribal men from Africa, born and raised, some of us in America as well. And we're really coming out here to just give you guys an understanding of what it feels like to be an African. And at the same time, give you guys an option or give you guys that opportunity to come and experience this journey with us as well. So this is what this podcast is all about, entrepreneurship. And you guys will see, follow us through our journey through this, and you guys will get an amazing, outstanding show, period. But I want everybody to introduce themselves. So here to my right, we have...
I'm Brad Ike, also known as Brad Ike, be easy, all of the above, you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited to be on the show. It's been a long time coming. My guy O, and I'm going to introduce my guy Tim right here.
I give you my African name, or you want the Americanized version? Just kidding. Timmy Tayo, Mo Naija, Yoruba boy, Yoruba demon, born in D.C., grew up in Africa. I mean, I grew up in Nigeria, spent most of my childhood there. I moved to Nigeria when I was 2 years old, and then I didn't come back to the States till I was 16. So my upbringing was definitely one of those, you know, we have two sides of it. Some people were born here and raised here. Some people were born here, raised in Africa. Some people were born in Africa, raised here.
Hey, that's different. That's for sure a different story. So with that being said, though, so how was it growing up? How was it growing up or being African, but growing up out here, or technically grew up back home, though? So how was that?
My childhood was all Nigeria. Like, I grew up in Nigeria. You know, the childhood memories I have, none of them had not America in it. I don't remember anything about America. Like I said, I moved back to Nigeria when I was 2 years old. I didn't come back till I was 16, but growing up there for me was...
Wait, what state are you from?
What state?
Yeah.
So my dad is from Kwara State.
Okay.
My mom is from Ondo State, which is Nigeria. It's kind of like mixing two cultures, which some people don't even know. It's like a black marrying a white person, like from two different tribes. You have Hausa, you have Yoruba. But, you know, I'm here today. Growing up in Nigeria was cool, man. At the time, you think, like, man, I have cousins in America living their best life. And now it's kind of like, I'm so happy to even have that experience growing up.
Cause, yeah.
You know, I went to school there, so know the language, know how to make food. I mean, I'm almost so anything.
But you ain't making the food. Stop capping.
I didn't make the food, but, you know, I learned. I saw the kitchen.
your experience itself was different because you were born and raised in America, but you went back home and basically lived out there for all that time.
He was raised in Nigeria.
He was raised in Nigeria, yeah. Right. But you have a different, I think you have the opposite, right?
Yeah, I'm the opposite, man. So, like, I raised out here, man. And not only was I raised out here, I was raised in a city called Pomona, right?
But where were you born at?
I was born in Nigeria.
I was born in Nigeria.
Oh, exactly. So it's the opposite of him, right? So I was born in Enugu, actually.
Enugu.
Come on, you better put that accent behind it, my friend. Enugu.
But my dad's from Imo State. You know what I'm saying? So my situation is different from yours and probably yours as well too. I think we have three diverse, different situations, right?
For sure.
I grew up in Pomona, right? And Pomona, if anybody knows, is about 30 minutes east of LA, right? So probably in the whole entire city, we probably is the only Nigerian family, right? You know what I'm saying? I didn't see other Nigerians like that often, unless we went to my uncle's house who lived in LA at the time, to visit, you know what I'm saying, and go to the church and stuff like that. But I didn't, you know, my neighbors weren't Nigerian, you know, everybody was Hispanic and, you know, black. So it was different, right? So it was a completely different situation. The only time I saw my culture was in the confines of my house, right? Whether it's the food we ate, you know, the music my mom played and stuff like that. But outside, I never saw it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people didn't even know that I was Nigerian, until they saw, like, my last name or something, right?
So not even. It would be your last name. You have Bradley. Brad Ike.
Nah,
I didn't even know.
Well, it's still different, right? Really? There's not a lot of Ikes out there as last names running around, right? You know, so, I mean, like I said, a lot of people didn't know until I kind of let them know, like, hey, yeah, I'm actually Nigerian and stuff like that. So, but it was, like I said, it's a different situation than yours and probably yours. And
for
I think that's the unique thing about the show, because we all have different perspectives.
Mine is, Mine is, so I was born and raised in Compton, so that's what I knew for a long time. And then growing up Nigerian was different for me because I had an identity crisis though. Like growing up.
How did your parents end up in Compton? Sorry.
How did they end up in Compton?
I'm just curious.
So, I'm not sure. So I know. So the actual gist of the conversation of my dad got here on a student visa, like 80% of Nigerians, 80% of Nigerians, right? So he got here on a student visa, and then went and got my mom. My mom came out here. My mom, I had my sister, then myself.
So wait, they came straight to California on a student visa?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna touch on my part. Yeah. So they came out here on a student visa. Well, my dad came out here on a student visa and got my mom out here, and then they started that big giant family. So born and raised in Compton, but at the end of the day, dude, I wasn't African enough to be African, but at the same time, I was too African to be from the hood. You understand what I'm saying? So I always battled that situation when I was a kid, and that was my issue. And the crazy part is, so I went back to Nigeria when I was 17, lived there for 3 years. That's where I picked up a lot of my stuff.
Talk about a shock right there. Like, you know, all of a sudden you move back home. That's insane.
Because you got an option. Right. Did you? Because we didn't have an option. I didn't choose.
You probably had an option. I didn't have an option. So you remember that saying your parents used to say, like, my friend, you better stop playing or I'll send you back home.
You were that kid?
I was the actual kid that they sent back home.
Like, they actually went through with it. That's crazy.
We know about you then.
I was the actual child that actually went back. But honestly, going back was probably the best thing that could have happened to me because, man, I learned so much. Like, I can get off in Lagos Airport right now, and I know how to get back to it. I can get to Enugu, I can roam through Lagos, and I can get back to Owerri with no problems. So, you know, it was a good thing.
See, and for me, the opposite. Like, I ain't been back since I was a kid. So, you know, I know we was trying to go back in 2020.
Right.
You know, we was planning on going there, Ghana and Sierra Leone at the time. But, you know, we
barely have any experience.
I know. I barely have any experience. So, like, you know, the goal is to definitely get back out there. And just to touch on what he said, see, it's crazy because he said his parents came out here, student visa, they came to California. Mine went to Louisiana. So they went to school, Southern University in Baton Rouge, and then they went back home, and that's when they had me. So my two older brothers actually born in Louisiana, you know what I'm saying? And they went back home for a while, and then I was born. And then they came back out here, and my sister was born. So I'm the only one out of my siblings that was born. And I actually get teased from my siblings about that, you know what I'm saying?
My older sister was actually born in Nigeria, too. So it's five of us, right? And the rest of us, I think our parents wanted us to, not even I think, I usually tell my mom, thank you for that. But their goal was to have all of us be American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So
of course.
Mom, pregnant in Nigeria. I always say made in Nigeria, mm-hmm. born in America. Came to America. I was the first kid to be had in America.
Mm-hmm.
Shipped my back home. Then my younger brother came. My sister came, born, mm-hmm. went back home. We all had that experience of just being born here and going back home. And you know, now that we're older, we understand why. Because they want us to grow up in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, you did the born here, now you got to go back. That home training is a real thing, man.
Seriously. No, big time.
That home training is a real thing.
It's for sure a big thing. But my thing is, but you have the whole Nigerian experience, and I do too as well. Now, Barrett, so your situation, you didn't have that Nigerian experience, but how was that growing up? Do you feel like you're still connected to Nigeria, or do you feel like there's still a little bit of a disconnect, though?
Absolutely. It's like 50-50, you know what I'm saying? You know, as I gotten older, I definitely want to bridge that gap more and more, and I have been over the last few years. But no, I mean, I'm still Nigerian to the core. You know, food, I love to eat the food, and you know, the clothing, the culture, everything, it's just beautiful. The music, everything's beautiful, and I'm gravitate more and more to it. And it's never too late, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm still a young guy, so that bridge is definitely gonna be connected. And I plan to have my future kids connect to that as well too. They're gonna know about Nigeria as well too, and that's the plan to go. I never felt that I wasn't Nigerian, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, despite, you know, you may have other Nigerians out there that may say otherwise, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
But to me, nah, it don't matter what they say to me. I know where I am and where I come from, you know what I'm saying? So, and I was born there, so I'm a citizen, you know what I'm saying? I'm a Nigerian citizen. Bro, I used to be going to L.A. I should hate it, going to L.A. to immigration office and stuff like that with my mom, trying to get my citizenship in America because I was a Nigerian born, you know what I'm saying? So, at the end of the day, I'm Nigerian.
The crazy part is, I didn't even know you were Nigerian. You were, well, of course, born. I knew you were Nigerian, but I didn't know you was born in Nigeria.
I didn't know that either.
I think I'm not sure the first time we took an international trip, and I was just like, yo, everybody send me a picture of their passport.
And he was not.
Bro, I looked at his passport. I was like, bro, are you? I like to say you was born in Nigeria. Like, what? I'm like, it's cool.
I mean, it's just not a conversation you just happened. I'm not out here broadcasting. Hey. Like, you know, it's just not a conversation.
But you out of Nigeria, right?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I go back to Nigeria, right? I can't even be in the Nigerian people's line. I'm not a citizen of Nigeria.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's wild. See, it's the opposite for me, though. and you grew up out there.
My passport is American. I'm an American citizen.
Do you have the dual?
No, I just got it when I went back to December.
Okay. I'll be right there with you. Don't worry about it.
So, yeah, but that's a very interesting conversation. It's kind of like a.
Right. So, that's what I'm saying. It's all, we all have unique perspectives and unique backgrounds, like, right? Like, even our family dynamics, right? Because, I mean, it's funny. I was listening to a podcast a few weeks ago, and it was a Nigerian guy on there, and he was talking about, like, you know, most of the times Nigerian families, the moms and dads are together, right? Unless they have, like, you know, polygamy. We'll talk about that later. But anyways, their moms and dads are together. My parents were actually divorced. You know what I'm saying? That's, like, unheard of in Nigerian culture.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not, like...
Exactly.
Yeah, it was very...
And he said that his parents were divorced, and he said he's the only one. He doesn't know anybody else. Well, I'm here to say, brother, I'm the other person, too. I come from a divorced household. But it's just unique. But I still have great relations with both my parents. It's... All around, I have a unique situation. I'm not sure your normal, you know, Nigerian. It's not cookie cutter. We're not monolith, basically. Huh?
Pop's still in Nigeria?
No, my pops actually lives in Houston. So he lives in Houston.
They're Americans now.
yeah, exactly. But yeah. I mean, he met my pops. Cool guy, man. I love him, and he's funny, man. He's an open book, and you know, I love going just visiting him, just to talk to him. And that's where I really learned a lot more about my culture, because my mom's a little bit more private, a little bit of a harder shell to break. But my dad's just an open book. I can ask him anything, and he'll tell me about it.
Do they still go back?
My dad does all the time. My mom hasn't been back in a few years, but like my aunts and uncles, they go back all the time.
Yeah. Do you have that passion? Well, you said you wanted to go back now, and I know you have siblings. Mm-hmm. How was that dynamic? Because my thing is, because I have two kids, so my thing is I have to take them back. My son is going back this December because he has to get that
first time.
Yeah, first time.
Yeah, I know you had a question for it, but how do your kids? Do they feel like they're Nigerian?
My son, 100%, and my daughter too. But they both eat the food. And they
because you, I'm, you're American.
You think so?
I mean, you born and raised in L.A. Hey,
true.
Your kids.
He's the most American one out of us.
We're gonna edit that out. But no, for sure, no. Nah. So when it comes to it, no, I think that was that identity thing I was talking about. Like you trying to figure who I am. But going back to Nigeria and then coming back. Mindset completely, 100% completely 100. Different. But that's why I tell a bunch of Americans, like, yo, just go. I don't care what part of Africa you go to. Just touch the soil. It's something about when you land and you put your fingers on the soil.
It's a mental thing.
You will never come back the same. 100%.
Man, At least go back in December.
Nah,
man.
But if you go back in December, the only thing about that, when you go back in December, it's a party.
It's a bunch of
now you got to compete with all the dudes. You already know we Nigerian, bro. We don't play when it comes to that dirty summer. We come with the money.
Don't take your kids in dirty December. I'll
ever.
Tell you that.
No, not the kids. I'm talking about the grown-ups. Not the kids. No, not the kids.
Dirty December. Nigeria is a club. Ghana is a club. Sierra Leone. All these countries are clubs in December. And the reason why people go home in December. It's really just, it's like our homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we.
Isn't that like their moniker? Isn't that like a Ghana's like a return of the, what was their slogan a few years ago?
A couple of years.
Like return of the home. I forgot what it was, but yeah, that's kind of like what it was. Like, hey, returning back home. It's a homecoming for them and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I do love what Ghana has going on right now. I love that Ghana has opened their borders up to every and anybody that's willing to learn and willing to adapt and adopt the culture. That's one thing I give up to Ghana for sure. But, Nigerian jollof is better, but outside of that, you guys have gave an opportunity for people to literally buy a ticket, come back, and if they love it so much, they have the opportunity of actually getting citizenship in Ghana. Dude, that's amazing, honestly. So you know, I think that's something that's to me is amazing. But I also wanted to throw this out there. You give me your feedback. So with all this being said, though, like, why do you feel that there's a disconnect though between Africa and I guess I would say Black Americans, because I'm going to let y'all know right now. Where's my camera? Right here. I'm going to let you guys know right now. White people are out there, and they're out there heavy. So this notion that you guys believe that nobody is out, like, don't go out there. No, trust me. Tons of white people are out there, and they're buying up land, and they are having the time of their life out there, and they're telling you guys a different story. But give me your perspective.
Man, first of all, stop sugarcoating it. Say it's beef. It ain't just disconnect. It's to me, it's a beef, and I don't understand it. You know, I think that I get where it comes from, right? I think a lot of it has to be how media plays both sides, right? I feel like the media shows, and Tim probably can speak on it more than I can, but this is just what I think. They probably show the violent, like, situations that happen in America, you know, to Africans back home. Like, oh, look at them, they're protesting, it's violent, right? You know, and then vice versa, they show Americans and myself, they show us, you know, that, you know, they're poor, they live in huts, they're dirty, and all this stuff. So it's a negative image that the media has put, and I think that, you know, that's caused that dissension, right? And it's, to me, it's just, like, I guess you could say it's disconnect. It's just, we need to communicate with each other and get a better understanding with one another. And I think that if we're able to do that, we can kind of bridge that gap. You know, honestly, I just think that's where it really kind of stems from. It's the media plays a big part in it.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully we have social media now where people can actually post what they actually seen in Africa now. You can go on TikTok, you can go on whatever social platform, and you will be able to see what's actually going on in Africa. It's people having a good time. Land, have properties, have businesses, have so many things going on. As far as the beef goes, I think I don't know, even know how it is, but I just felt like, even for me, when I first came back to America, I was in high school, I just felt like there was a disconnect. Like, being African, it was like, I had to hang out with Africans because the black people didn't see themselves as one of us. Like,
but you had an advantage, and this is, and quote me if I'm wrong, though. Quote me if I'm wrong, but my thing is, the further you move to the West Coast, the more Africans are not really tapped in like they are on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. When I go to New York, when I go to Maryland, Washington, Africans are still speaking broken English, pidgin English, however you want to call it. Facts. But the more you start moving down towards the West, dude, nobody speaks, a lot of people don't speak their mother's language, like, at all. You understand what I'm saying? And it's a, I think you had an advantage in that point too, but I'm not like taking away from your experience as well. So,
well, I mean, for me, I mean, when I came back, I went to Texas, Dallas, Houston. These are places where Nigerians, like, my neighbors were all Africans. You go to church, we go into Redeemed Christian Church of God, and it's nothing but Nigerians, obviously, because it's a lot of us there. Since I've been to L.A., I don't think there's that many. I mean, there's a reason why we're friends, because it's not that many. I mean, you could tell me I'm wrong, but there's not many Africans on the West Side.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not sure, but I haven't met that many people. Now, if you go to, like, places like D.C., Atlanta, Texas, that's home.
Heavy. So I see that. I see that part, because when I, you know, UIU, they have the Igbo conventions and everything, and those things are amazing. And it seems like every time I go closer towards the East, I'm like, yo, these people speak the language, though. Like, when you're in the midst and everybody's speaking Igbo, or they're speaking Yoruba, or they're speaking Pidgin or whatever, and you have to be like, okay, it is not like that on the West Coast at all. I'm not sure what the disconnect is, but it seems like every time we get closer towards the West Side, it's parents just didn't, I guess, instill that into their kids, or were more focused on something else at that time being.
I think it's also the generation. I mean, you're talking about, like, my mom is, she has a heavy African accent. So does my dad. But then people are like, you're African? I didn't even know, because your accent is a little different. Now you can hear it if you want to, but some people don't even hear it, right? But that's because I've been around.
Right.
I guess I went to high school, college, and then it's been almost over 15 years now, 20 years, that it's eventually evolved and changed itself. But our parents, those generations, it's just strong. And that pigeon is not going anywhere. It's going to stay here.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what? You know what's crazy? One of the worst things that ever happened is that movie Boys in the Hood. You know why? What happened to Boys in the Hood? What did that dude tell him in that classroom? He called him an African booty scratcher.
There we go.
And listen, that became every African in, at least in the LA, that's became our nickname.
Everywhere, because I've heard podcasts on the UK, and they were even using the word African. I said, hold on. So this is like a worldwide
And that was hey, and that was a trigger word, bro. That's like a trigger. Like, what? Man, what? You better have some jokes. You better have something to come back with.
Because we boxing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was a trigger word. But nah, man, I mean, it's just unique, man, because like you said, you know, you're at an advantage, Tim, growing up in Maryland, because like you said your neighbors were African. Like I said, I grew up, I'm telling you, my family had to be the only Africans in the whole entire city. Like, if there was someone else out there, I had no idea.
So how were you even connected to Africa, or man, you were not?
Within the house, man. Within the house, we still, you know.
But.
And going to events and stuff like that, like I still would go. We still would go to events.
But that's rarely. Not even to cut you off, mm-hmm. but that's rarely. But so how? Because society. So we all believe that society raises you. Your parents sets the foundation, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. But then society raises you. So when you're out in society, though, how did that play a part? Did you feel like you had to dummy down like you were Nigerian or whatever?
I don't even think he was even trying to be Nigerian.
I don't think so either, but that could be my,
I was just a student athlete, straight up. That's all it was. I focused on school and sports. That's it. Well, sports and school. I had good grades though, but school and sports, like that's it. Like, bro, I was just trying to find a way to get up out of there. You know what I'm saying? Get up out of the city. And you know, I knew at a young age, I was gonna get some sort of scholarship. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Whether it was through books or it was through sports. And that's all I focused on, bro. I didn't even, you know, I did just regular normal things. I played video games. We went outside. I tried every sport, bro. I was out there playing street hockey with the neighbors. I was out there skateboarding, riding bikes, everything, basketball, football, baseball, you know, anything.
And back to your environment.
All that I'm really getting into too much which is crazy to y'all, is soccer. That's why I'm not like the biggest soccer fan, but you know, I did have a great experience last summer going to a soccer game, and it kind of re-energized me and my love for it. But yeah, man, I just did everything. Just, you know, I just saw myself as, you know, as a human, like, you know what I'm saying? And not that I was a Nigerian, but I just was focused on my goals, you know, which was getting good grades and excelling in sports. That's it. You know, that's all I was really worried about, honestly.
So, but okay, so.
Until I got out on net for the girls.
This dude. All right, so how did your parents feel about African American people, though?
Oh, man. So, hey, listen, I'm gonna keep it as nice as possible, man. I mean, it's crazy because, you know, one thing we used to do, we used to watch basketball, right? As a Laker fan, bro, I used to be, and we'll probably touch on this a little bit, but as a Laker fan, I used to hate going against the Rockets. Why I hate going against the Rockets? Because Hakeem Olajuwon, and Hakeem used to kill us, kill Shaq. And my dad used to be like, yep, he's not going to beat him. But not only just that, like I remember like when Iverson came to the league, and I, you know, I started watching Iverson, like, oh man, you know, trying to copy his crossovers, and you know, I thought he was just a dope player. Tattoos, you know, my dad did not have it because he was like, he's a damn, you know, he didn't like him because of the tattoos. He plaits his hair, as he called it, braiding his hair. Yep. He didn't like none of the earrings. He thought he was a thug. You know, so that's just what they, and again, to me, that's part of the media, right? So the media paints anybody who has probably tattoos, braids, and earrings to them in Africa as probably a thug. And that's what my dad identified Allen Iverson as. And meanwhile, I thought he was, you know, amazing, and I end up getting braids and earrings,
tattoos,
and tattoos, all that. But I remember I got my ears pierced at 14, bro. I remember I hid it from my mom months, like months.
I used to have the Magnum ones, boy.
Bro, I used to put tape on my, ear.
I got the Magnum ones slapped out of me, bro. I'm like, yo, just to test the waters to see. Then, I'm like, yo, let me put these Magnums to see. Let me see if they're testing. Oh,
you
man,
know what's so funny? I remember I got my hair braided first time I was a freshman in high school. I got my hair braided. And I got my hair braided, and my mom was on the way back, and I got scared and took him out before she could come back.
You know the best thing you could have done to me.
Hey, but what was Hakeem's image?
Well, I mean, Hakeem was a Nigerian guy.
What was the image?
He was, you know, to him, he's a positive, clean cut. He was like, you know, he's a person that you want to be to their eyes, in their eyes. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how it is.
And that's really Nigerian's mentality.
And that's Nigerian's mentality. Clean cut. They don't want you having tattoos. They don't want you having long hair. Like, even today, like last year, when my dad came down for my sister's, was last year? 2 years ago, my dad came down for my sister's wedding. I had my hair longer at the time. And he's like,
automatically, bad boy.
He's like, why do you have your hair like this for your sister's wedding? Like, he was like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, Dad, I'm a grown man. I'm a grown man. Like, I ain't trying to hear none of that.
You're following a kata man.
Exactly. Yeah, so.
Nah, that's real, though. That disconnect. I mean, we identify closer to, I mean, you're saying where's the beef at? It really stems from, like, they want us to be as as pure as possible.
Right.
Pure. Like, just go to school, be a doctor, be a lawyer, be something that's very, you know, they can brag about you.
Right. Facts.
Well, you turn into be a rapper or right. You got, you know.
Right. All right. Like, let me stir the pot a little bit then, if that's the case. All right. So my issue with my father was, I'm like, you want us to be as close to Africa as possible. Your situation might be a little different, but you dropped us off and raised us in an American society where my father, my mom and dad, my mom RN, nurse, she works. My father was, my dad worked numerous amounts of jobs and was forever in school. So with that being said, society raised, you probably laid the foundation, but society raised us, but you can't be mad that we like what we see. And within the society, you dropped us off. Now, if you would have raised us in probably Beverly Hills, Brentwood or something, I'd have completely been a different type of dude. But bro, I was raised in Compton. Like, what did you,
that's your environment.
That's my environment. So when I see these certain things that appeal to me because I'm around it, how can you be mad at the simple fact of the decisions I make, though?
That's why it's funny to me when they tell you got to marry an African woman, and you're like, yo, I live here. What I see is right. What I'm interested
exactly.
in.
Right. Exactly.
My classmates are this, that.
You know what's so crazy, though? Like, my parents, they haven't really, I mean, when we were younger, they kind of mentioned that a lot, like, oh, you got to marry an African woman, but as an adult, they never bring that up. They just want us to be happy.
They want you to get married. That's
okay,
what it
so,
is.
All right, let me ask this though. You're fourth or third out of five? Or what is it?
I'm the third out of four.
Third out of four. Yeah. Okay. So what was the outcome for your older for the two oldest though?
Nothing.
Same?
No outcome. I'm shocked. Like, they just want you to be happy and just, you know, that's all it really. You know, like I said, they
actually cared about your happiness.
Yeah, they, crazy, well, as far as marriage wise, we'll dive into that in other episodes. But like marriage wise, yes, absolutely. But let me ask you guys something though. You know, I know we're kind of talking about the whole beef thing. Do y'all feel like somewhat the whole reason why the media shows us in this way to them and vice versa is because of they want to keep us divided as if so they can show like. For black people to think they don't have a home to come to, you know what I'm saying? And you know how, like, you know, like, so black people never want to go back home. Like, put that in the mindset. Like, I never want to go back home because...
Like, you're talking about media?
Yeah, the media.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I think that's like, you know...
They make it so hard. They make it so hard in multiple ways. But the thing about it is, like, even if you wanted to go back to Nigeria, dude, do you know how much a ticket to... I'm not even talking about right. first class. I'm talking about regular economy. We're talking about $25 to almost $3,000 just to go back to flight.
Try December time.
Oh, December. We're talking. It's crazy numbers. I'm like, I went I done been everywhere. I done went to Spain. I done went everywhere for round trip, $700. Less than $1,000, but for me to get back to Africa, it's costing me $2,000 and plus. That already kind of deters you from even wanting to go because I'm like, yo, it's not affordable. Right. It's crazy. But then these are ways that they deter you from going. But if I drop you off, you're gonna see a bunch of white folks in there kicking their feet up at the pool area, having a ball.
It's like
but
a this is the part they don't see now at this point. Right. You know, you've seen a lot of celebrities go back to Nigeria and they post about it right now. It makes people even more comfortable to want to go back to Africa. Now I'm around people like when they see my stories on the gram and I'm in Nigeria, it's like, oh, I want to go. Be white friends and be everybody. I want to go back to Nigeria with you.
I mean, speak on that. I mean, I think that what was a big help was like, again, you speak to Ghana. Ghana was, it just has been big and huge on that. Ghana Chella, I think that whole concert event, Afrochella, Afrofuture, all that, I think them hosting that, I mean, I think that was big. And I think that it's brought positive attention to that country. And hopefully that continues. And hopefully that's the blueprint for all the other countries surrounding, right? Like, take that as a blueprint. Like, hey, listen, like, welcome. Like, you know what I'm saying? Welcome us back.
People want to go back. It is expensive, you're right. But people do want to go back. It's just that they don't, you can't just say, it's like, I can't just go to a place and be like, I want to go to drop me off in the Atlantic. I've never even been there. What would I do? Want to do when I get there? I think it's our job as Africans, some of us, to just be able to
olive branch.
Tell them, give them that.
Right.
I'll tell you where to stay. I'll give you a driver.
Well, I know me and O and the rest of the group when we were trying to go back in 2020, we said if anybody wants to go, you know, let us know. Come with. Like, we open. Like, if you want to come back. And you're not comfortable, you're scared, whatever the case may be, let us know. And we, when we're going back, you can come back with us. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
But I think it plays out to a lot of people. And then this is my camera right here. So I want to, this goes out to Cameron. Cameron, you made a comment that said that Africans don't like Americans. And that is true per se, because I'm not going to act like it doesn't exist. But there are people out here that think completely opposite of that. You, Cameron, and I think another person I want to shout out, if I could ever get y'all on the show or even have a conversation with you, Uncle Shay, Shannon Sharp, for real. Supposedly, he's like 90% Nigerian of some sort. That's a crazy number for him not to ever say he's been back to Nigeria. That I'm like, yo, we need these type of people to actually go back. We need Michael B. Jordan did a commercial with Chase Sapphire with a bunch of Nigerian African. When these people start coming back, a lot of people are going to start joining with them, and they just have to have all that positive information.
Well, let me ask you this, too. Do you guys think that a lot of the beef comes from, like, the older generation, too, of Africans?
100%.
Like, right? So I think, like, people in our generation, especially ones that grew up out here, right, are a lot more comfortable and hang out with a lot of, you know, black Americans. Yeah. And do you think that will you ever feel like that's going to either die all the way down, dissolve, and just kind of reduce as, you know, the, you know, older generation kind of move on? That's kind of how I feel. I think the younger generation are more embracing of Black Americans.
I think that perception has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. When I first came back to the States when I was 16 years old, even when I listened to music, I knew that the next person next to me did not know what I was listening to. There was no way you knew all these artists that I grew up listening to. Remedy Boys, all that, you know. You weren't listening to Two-Face, Devia. Like, I was listening to that. Plantation Boys. But now, I can tell you I'm listening I don't even have to say it.
Don't say Plantation Boys.
I mean.
That ain't a good name.
Plantation Boys is the name of the group.
Yeah, I get it.
That was their name.
But in America, that's a negative.
That's the name of their group, man. But back to what I was saying. Now, I don't even have to say I'm listening to any African song. You just already know the song. Right. You know? So
facts.
That's actually, so I think it's changed. The old ways has probably gone away. I think people are now being open to dating African, going back to Africa.
Oh, hold on.
They've
always been dating Africans, bro. I don't care what nobody say, bro.
Facts.
They've been dating Africans, bro, way before we got here.
That's been fact. But as far as embracing us, it's been a different level of embrace. Like, they've embraced us everywhere now. They, probably the cool kids.
Yeah.
Now, than it was back then when they was talking about African booty scratches, like all that.
Yeah, that is the gist of things. And we need to find a way to connect these American people, or people that just want to come back, period. Like, I have friends that have reached out to me like, yo, I did my 23andMe, I've done my ancestry, all these other things. And they're like, but I just don't know who to talk to or who to give. I'm like, yo, tap in. Tap in with anybody that, even if you don't know,
you
tap
have an
in.
African friend somewhere.
Yeah, my thing is just tap in. Because if they're truly your friend, they're going to give you an olive branch and be like, yo, hey, I'm going back in such and such. You want to roll? Hey, what information would you like to know? And I guarantee you, as long as you're invested in what they're talking about, man, you will be accepted. Trust me. And there's nothing like going to Nigeria and being American. When I say they embrace you,
oh yeah,
it's a different type of feel.
Oh yeah, it's a different type of love.
And when you're going back home, your friends, they probably have a compound for you to stay in too.
That's what I said.
Everybody has a compound back home.
For those of you curious to know how to even get back to, how to even go to Africa, I mean, there's different ways. You can either, there's some companies now that are like having tours and they all that kind of stuff. But my best advice to you would probably be to reach out to any African friend you know that's been to Africa, probably. It doesn't have to be Nigeria. It could be South Africa. It can be Zimbabwe. It can be anywhere. Just say, hey, I want to go back with you whenever you're going back home. If you're trying to come to Nigeria, I already know what I got to do for you. Like you said, a compound. We make sure you have security. Because, I'm saying come, but don't just pull up.
Yeah. Don't
from
do that.
From the airport,
don't
you're going to learn this is a bad mistake. You can't just show up. No, don't do that. Because we got to make sure you're protected. You know, you have a driver picking you up from the airport, taking you home or wherever the compound we put you in safely. You can't just be on the streets of, I can say anywhere, Nigeria, anywhere, walking around. No, because you will be robbed. Don't think it's just, don't think it's all sweet.
No, for real.
Because you're in Africa, trust me, they're gonna hustle you. They're very determined. They're going to hustle you. And they're going to be able to tell you're not even from here.
Listen, facts. But I don't want it to be like the – like, that's just Nigeria. That happens in most countries.
You can't pull up Colombia.
You know, there's a lot of countries you gotta be on your P's and Q's. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be on high alert.
But
you gotta be smart. You gotta move smart.
The crazy part is, though, being Nigerian, I don't know about you. You can tell me if I'm wrong. But the first time I went to Nigeria, I got robbed. The first time I went to Nigeria.
And you're Nigerian.
And I'm Nigerian.
What'd I tell you?
But that was the part of the Americanized mentality of myself kicking in. Once I stayed there about a year, 2 years, Nigerians are so sharp. It is crazy. That's why unfortunately, when you get these emails about buying an airport for $80 million, you guys pay it, unfortunately. But I'm telling you, you gotta be, they were like, well, Nigerians are this and this and that. I'm like, yo, at the end of the day, he's smart. For him to do the research on exactly how to get you, and he got you. You can't just
take 80 mil of money from people. Like, you have to have some type of sense. Come on, sense. Some type of way. Nigerians are hustlers. I mean, think about it. We're not given some of these things. Some of us don't just come from money like that. You got to figure out a way to make money. So, hustle. And you're going to hustle hard. You know, they carry lots.
Yeah.
You figure out a way.
That part.
To be successful, wherever way you do it, it's just most Africans take advantage of that by trying to come to America like our parents did to be successful.
Yeah.
Try to, because you can grow up in Nigeria, but trust me, for those that's why I thank my parents all the time for even having the idea, the mindset to say, hey, well, I want my kids to be born in America because I want a better life for you. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy and rosy back there. Like, you know, that's why I'm still living here. You know, there's a reason why you guys are still here. There's a reason why you even ended up here.
Yeah.
It's because your parents saw a better life in America, and I'm forever grateful for that, having that opportunity. But at the same time, to the soul core, everything, super Nigerian. Love the fact that I was even able to grow up in Nigeria. I mean, you can't take that away from me. Now I can speak the language, like I said earlier. And I'm glad I appreciate you for even trying to take your kids back home. Let them, man, you know what that would do for those kids?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what that would do for them? It's kind of like you saying when you went back to Nigeria, 7 years or 8 years, you still have that memory in your head.
Right.
So your kids would be saying, I remember I did this because my dad is this.
Yep.
But there's some people who are just Americanized and they don't even, I have cousins who've never even been. Back
facts.
To Nigeria.
Oh, 100%.
I don't even think they're ever going to go back to Nigeria. Because
they're not.
Their parents are not even trying to instill that in them. Like, we got to go home.
Yeah.
You know, it's your job as a friend. It's your job as a father. It's your job as whatever. You got to touch soil. You got to put your hand. You got to get in there. You got to just embrace it. I mean, that's the best way to embrace Africa.
I agree, man. I mean, we got to find a way to, you know, just get a circle of people, man. Just 4 or 5 people. Go back, you know what I'm saying? Have one probably be some sort of African, Nigerian, or whatever country decides to visit, and that understands how to maneuver and move out there, and just go. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the best way to kind of really do it. But I think that with exposure from some of these celebrities and, you know, some of these podcasts that, you know, highlight and touch on going their business back home, it's only gonna, you know, influence. It's kind of like what Tulum was, right, a few years ago, right? How Tulum kind of just blew up.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the same thing. Like, that's how Ghana is getting, right? It's blowing up. And like, we might already be there, but hopefully that kind of spreads to some of the other countries, because there's a lot of other beautiful countries in Africa.
No. I think last year, it's crazy to even say this. As African as I am, I've only been to Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was the first time I said, let me step foot. And I actually just, it was an hour flight to get to Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Afrofuture. I just want to check out another part of Africa. And when I say I left Ghana, I say, man, I just need to take some notes from Ghana.
No, seriously. I'm not even joking. The exact same thing, though. Hey, I said the exact same thing.
I didn't even feel like I was in Africa.
They have set it up. They've set it up so well for
Shout
tourists.
Out to Ghana,
bro,
man.
Ghana has it laid out, bro. It's amazing. And then another place, not even cut you off, another place was Tanzania. I went to Tanzania, as y'all call it, but it's Tanzania. This is the most immaculate place I've ever seen in my life, bro. I literally woke up and the tide recedes back, so you can literally walk damn near in the middle of the ocean, which is mind blowing. I'm like, yo, this is amazing.
Hey, Morocco is another spot. If people,
Morocco,
I'm trying to go there.
Morocco,
I'm trying to go there.
Hey, there's a lot of Moroccans in Spain, and I visited Spain, and Morocco. It's definitely on the radar. Definitely need to get to Morocco.
He said, man, what do you really want to say is that the women in Morocco are,
if you know, you know,
gorgeous. Like,
yeah, if you know, you know. Hey, where my camera? If you know, you know. Morocco. Man. For sure.
Hey, that's a good one.
But let me ask you this. I remember you said you went to, I forgot what country it was, but it was in December. You went back and you said there's somebody who owned a restaurant. And they weren't black, and they were what? Can you kind of touch on that story?
Yeah,
again?
Man, and it was in Ghana. I went to Ghana, right? And a lot of the nice restaurants spots we went to were owned by like non-Africans.
Wow.
Like, I haven't met an owner, and I was like, but this is what shocked me. I think the guy was from I can't even remember the country. It was like some European country. And he said he had been in Africa for 20 years. And I said, what? You have lived here for 20 years. And this was like a 5-star restaurant. I'm talking about, there was levels and everybody was in there. All the Africa money just pouring in. And in my mind, I'm like, this money is not even staying in the...
Yeah, he figured it out.
This money... Oh, did he? He came here and invested. I'm not mad at him. Yeah. You know, but I think that's something that we... Not even I think. We need to start doing that.
Right.
We need to start going back there, getting land, starting businesses, because you're giving back to employees out there. You're doing a lot of things, and you're enriching your own family. Like, you make money, your family's making money.
Well, I think part of this podcast is going to be to touch on that, right? How we're able to bridge the gap, not only for Black Americans, but even just Africans that live out here to back home, right? Like, you're successful in doing all the stuff out here, but what are you doing back home? How are you connecting yourself back home? Are you building buildings, businesses, houses, stuff like that back home? You know, like, we got to figure out a way to bridge that gap. And I think that's going to be something that we need to touch on this podcast, whether we have guests or amongst ourselves, and kind of just be able to lay out that information and blueprint to everybody.
Yeah, I think that's some good information we done put out there for this first episode, honestly, man. And, yo, you guys, trust me. Stay tuned. We have a lot of things in tune. We have a lot of things coming. When I say a lot of things, I mean a lot of things coming. You're going to see some guests that will for sure blow your mind.
And if you have any kind of guests in mind, feel free to kind of, hey, recommend, send them our way. We're open. Like, we really want to touch on and speak to everybody about our experiences.
Also, if you have any businesses and you want to get on the pod, just contact us, DM us, whatever it is. Just reach out to us. You know, you see the link below. Contact us. We'd like to have you on the pod. If you have a business of some sort, or you feel like you can just expand. I mean, there's even if you know how we can get some people back to the motherland, let us know so we can share that. We can share those opportunities with our guests. And yeah, because our goal is to make sure you guys understand the true Africa, how it is for us from different tribes, and how we plan on, you know, letting everybody know about what's going on back in Africa. So, yeah, shout out, reach out to us, man. We would love to, you know, connect.
All right. With that being said, man, it was a pleasure having you guys. This is the Three Tribesmen, and it's a wrap.